Just 1 week after he hits a buzzer beater over LeBron James, tonight will be affectionately known as the Andrew Nembhard game. Nembhard with career highs all over the board as the undermanned Pacers stun the Golden State Warriors in a big upset win on the road in the Bay. Huge night for the Pacers. Tons of guys stepping up. We'll break down Nembhard's game, the Pacers' performance, and other guys who stepped up all on today's Locked On Pacers podcast.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, my name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and SI, and today, holy smokes, do we have a beautiful game to talk about. Two Mondays in a row where the Pacers just pull off something amazing on this road trip. Last weekend, the buzzer beater over the Los Angeles Lakers. And this Monday, a stunning upset of the reigning NBA champion Golden State Warriors in San Francisco in the Chase Center behind a ton of normal reserves. The Pacers in this game entered it with so many guys out. No Tyrese Haliburton, no Miles Turner, no Chris Duarte, no Daniel Tice, no James Johnson, no TJ McConnell, and no problems for the Indiana Pacers. They stunned the Warriors. They played a fantastic game led by Andrew Nembhard. We'll talk all about him in the second segment. I've got a story on him coming out conveniently today. It's pretty short, but I talked with Jalen Suggs, his college teammate, about him. And then at the end, we'll talk about a bunch of other guys who stepped up big minutes for the two-way guys. A really good game from Jalen Smith again. So tons to get to today as the Pacers somehow pull it off again. A stunning game in Golden State against the defending champs. Final score was 112-104 by the Pacers. And it's not like they wobbled against the Warriors, right? There were a couple lead changes, I guess, but the Pacers were never down more than 2 points. But they were up 16 themselves, and they went on a bunch of big runs. Like, they really controlled the game with a totally undermanned rotation. And it's very rare that I have, you know, stunned by results of an NBA game, right? There are stunning results in the NBA all the time. But the line for this game was Warriors by like 11.5. Before it was announced that like Turner was out and all this stuff was changed. And I did not think the Pacers would be in this on a back-to-back undermanned. They started two rookies, right? Mathurin and Nembhard. Mathurin's first start of his career is like the sixth story of this game. That will be maybe a thing for tomorrow. But they started Nembhard, Mathurin, Smith, Nesmith, and Hield in this game. And they won. They beat the champs in Golden State. These are the type of games that a lot of, you know, people who have covered Rick Carlisle for a while will say that he loves, right? He's got to figure out a challenge, figure out a rotation when down a bunch of players. And he did an excellent job in this game, both with that starting five that worked very well. Basically, everybody who played was at or above an even plus minus in this game, and then finding the right combinations with bench guys, like 18 minutes of Kendall Brown. You know, for example, Carlisle did a great job. Everybody who played did a great job in this game. And so for the Pacers, who were down a ton of guys, right, Kendall Brown's their sixth man. They need Trevelyan Queen, who flew over the day before for their back-to-back. They start Ben Mathurin for the first time. They get it done on both ends. That's what made this so impressive. It's not like they needed an unusually hot shooting game. In fact, they shot under 40% from three. You know, against the Warriors, you need to play pretty well. And they shot well. They shot almost 50%, but it's not unusually hot. They actually missed a bunch of free throws too. But they got it done on both ends. On defense, what the Pacers did well was kind of close to everything, right? They defended really well. They would swarm the Warriors on the three-point line, and the Warriors end up 13 for 44 from deep. Steph Curry, the best shooter of all time, 2 for 10 from deep. In fact, non-Klay Thompson players were 5 for 28 from deep for the Warriors. Anthony Lamb missed all his. DiVincenzo's 1 for 3. Curry's 2 for 10. Jordan Poole's 2 for 8. Draymond missed both of his. Pacers did a great job defending that three-point line, keeping the Warriors at bay from deep, swarming Curry the second he would come around to screen, for example, making other guys beat them. Warriors were without Andrew Wiggins. He's very good. I don't want to belittle that. But that is only one of their many shooters that was out in this game. Pacers did a great job there. They also defended the rim really well. Jalen Smith was really good on defense in this game. Three blocks for him. Isaiah Jackson had three blocks. Like, there wasn't a lot of space for the Warriors when they would attack in this game, like there normally was. Their rotation a little imbalanced, right? They didn't have as much creation with their second unit, and they couldn't get it going, right? They could not. They're one of the best passing teams in the league, only 26 assists for Golden State. So Pacers did a good job really slowing them down and not letting them play their game. And they rattled them, right? It's hard to rattle Golden State. They won a bunch of titles, right? They've got some of the best players of all time on that roster. They were like not, you know, I don't want to say they were not themselves or anything, but, you know, they had moments of exasperation to officials and extra timeouts and all this stuff that you could just tell they were slightly rattled by the way the Pacers were defending them. And the Pacers found a way to rattle the Warriors, right? Guys were out of their heads trying to figure out what was going on and get it fixed. And, you know, the Warriors acted like when the game started, they thought it was going to be easy, and it was not. Pacers did awesome on the defensive end. They had won 10 in a row at home, right? They had this road trip coming. The Warriors do, like, I get how this could be them thinking ahead too far, but the Pacers took advantage of that. So impressive. And then the offensive side of the ball, I mean, wow, for the Pacers with the guys they had to be able to create good shots. Extremely impressive. Obviously, Andrew Nembhard's a story. He will get a lot of focus in the second segment today. In 41 minutes for Nembhard tonight, 5 made threes, 13 assists, 8 rebounds, 31 points. Fantastic. Jalen Smith was 6 of 8 for 15 points. He was awesome. Mathurin got to the line 8 times for 14 points. Buddy Hield had 17 points and hit 4 threes. O'Shea Brissett made a bunch of threes off the bench, right? They got Isaiah Jackson hit 6 shots. Like, they had a really good game plan to get just enough steps in the paint against the Warriors to make them rotate. And without Wiggins, again, you know, that hurts. It's not the reason the Pacers won. They were without, obviously, significantly more guys, but they found a way to carve up that defense. You wouldn't be able to think this group could generate a bunch of good shots, but they did. In fact, even dating back to last night, this same group without Haliburton, right, really struggled to generate good shots against Portland. And yet in this game, no sweat at all. And the biggest difference to me, beyond Andrew Nembhard playing the game of his life, is that they sped it up, right, against Portland. It felt like their plan was, you know what, we don't have our elite creator in Tyrese Haliburton. We don't have our backup point guard in McConnell. Let's slow it down, right? Let's slow it down. Let's figure out what we can do. Maybe bog this game down, make some threes, and be in it. That didn't work. Pacers looked awful. They looked really disconnected in Portland on Sunday night. And against the Warriors, maybe this is just my eyes tricking me a little bit, but they did take 90 shots. That's more than they took against Portland, right? They were playing way faster despite being undermanned. And I think that really helped them. Nembhard can play quick. They practice in transition a lot. They've got speedy athletic dudes off their bench. All of their bench was basically speedy athletic dudes. Kendall Brown, O'Shea Brissett, Isaiah Jackson, and Trevelyan Queen. They said, let's play fast. And it worked, right? So Hield finds his threes. Nembhard finds all these crevices where he can carve up and make shots from everywhere. His shot charts probably looks ridiculous. I should have pulled it up. Jalen Smith found space around the basket a lot of the time, but also from three twice. Isaiah Jackson found that same space around the basket. Like, everybody who played on offense found a way to get to their spots and be a threat. And so the same group, again, without Haliburton last night, they said, ditch that strategy. It didn't work at all. We got blown out by Portland. Let's play a lot faster. Let's try to play our game and see what we can do. And it really worked. So impressive game planning from Carlisle and an impressive work by all the players to, of course, play that style effectively in a way that would allow them to pull off such a big upset and get a crazy impressive win over the Golden State Warriors in this game, right? Everybody who played did their job and contributed. Like, I can't think of one guy who I was like, I thought, oh, he was bad or off tonight. Like, I guess you could say Mathurin missed a bunch of shots, but he got to the line enough and still contributed in a way that he was a plus nine, right? Like, he was still effective playing staccato. He played 40 minutes and was a plus nine. Like, that's an important player. Trevelyan Queen had, like, this really flashy assist that kind of changed the momentum of the game when he was in there, even though his minutes were a big minus. Like, everybody who played did a fantastic job of doing their job, finding a role, and doing it in a way that the Pacers absolutely needed against the reigning champs. And they slowed down everybody, right? 12 points for Steph Curry in this game. 12 points. He got dominated by Andrew Nembhard in this game, who defended him well, who was awesome on offense. And so, like I said earlier, truly, I'm stunned. Like, I very rarely am stunned by the result of any sporting event game, and nonetheless an NBA game. But not only did the Pacers win, they looked really good the whole time. They were very rarely trailing. It was really impressive. It says a lot about this young team that they're able to do things like this. And I talked about this briefly on yesterday's show, but the Pacers started 1-4 and they responded, right? They got out of that funk and figured out what kind of team they could be and figured out some of their issues. They were on a 1-4 stretch early in this road trip. And I thought, this will be a big tipping point for this team. They're one game over 500, and they figured it out, made the right adjustments, and got a huge win. They're now 13-11. They are guaranteed to come home from this seven-game grueling road trip with a winning record. Even if they lose in Minnesota on Wednesday, they're 13-12. They play the Wizards without Beal on Friday. Yeah, they got a tough back-to-back when they get home, but they split those. They're over 500 after their brutal stretch from mid-November late-ish November to mid-December. That's very impressive from this team, and this win tips off that iceberg. And now, we've talked too long. I've got to talk about Andrew Nembhard. That was an unbelievable game. One of the most impressive compared to expectation. And I don't mean, like, Andrew Nembhard's really good. He's having an awesome road trip. And even that, he exceeded by a mile. But his preseason expectations, would he even be in the rotation? He got picked in the second round. He dominated the Golden State Warriors in this game. Career night in every way. He deserves a ton of praise for the way he played. And we'll cut through all of it in the second segment, talking Andrew Nembhard. Before we do that, though, let me talk to you guys about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is super fun, right? You can take Luka Doncic. Will he score more or less than 30.5 points? Will LeBron James have more or less than 8.5 rebounds? Will KD make a bunch of threes? Will Steph have so many assists, right? That's a simple concept that I just described to you. That's what Prize Picks is. You pick a couple players. Will they score more or less than their Prize Picks projections? You can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. No competing against other people. It's just you versus their projections available. That's what I love about it, right? You're not going against a bunch of people who can out-research you. It's just you versus projections, right? That's super fun. They've got every sport you can think of. You can make your entries in a minute, basically. It's safe, fast withdrawals. Currently operational in 30 states as well as Canada. Prize Picks, super fun. You got to try it. Download their app or go to prizepicks.com. Sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. You give them 100, they'll give you 100. You give them 50, you get 50. You get the idea. Don't forget, enter the promo code Locked On at sign up for the instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Pacers your first listen today and every single day. For your second listen, of course, Locked On Warriors with Cyrus Sata. This is the way to go. He'll break down what happened in Golden State. What the heck? Why did they play so lethargically and poorly? Did Andrew Nembhard really gunk them up that much? Yes, kind of. He did. Cyrus will break down all that for you at Locked On Warriors. Let's talk about Andrew Nembhard's game. That was ridiculous. Shout out to Dan Favalli, friend of the pod. He's been on a few times for this stat. He tweeted it. This is from his stat head query on Basketball Reference. So here are all the rookies in NBA history who have had an NBA game where they scored 30 points, dished out 12 assists, and hit 5 threes. Which, by the way, Andrew Nembhard exceeded those thresholds. He had 13 assists, 31 points, and hit 5 threes. But either way, 30 points, 12 assists, and 5 threes in a game as a rookie. Here's the entire list. Steph Curry, two-time MVP, one of the best players ever. Trae Young, currently on the ascent to be a several-time All-Star. Allen Iverson, also same deal. And Andrew Nembhard. That's the list now after this game where Nembhard just did what he did. He was unbelievable. I'm double-checking that that is correct. If you see my phone, I just was wowed every step of the way. Yes, that is the entire list of four players by the things Nembhard was able to do in this game. He was so special. He was on a roll like butter. He threw more dimes than a central console in a car has. Enough of the puns, but his road trip has been so phenomenal. And this game was sort of the capping off of that. 31 points, 13 assists, right? 8 rebounds. He almost had a triple-double. He had a steal in there. Plus 16 in an 8-point win. Like, they needed every single thing he could give in 41 minutes and 18 seconds. It's one of the most impressive performances by a rookie I've seen in a while. Like, Mathurin's putting up these 30-point games and super impressive Benedict Mathurin games during the season. He did not have 13 assists or 8 rebounds in those performances. I do not want to belittle Mathurin's games. They were unbelievable. That's just the level Nembhard was at. He was above that in this game, right? He was absolutely ridiculous. And now, since returning last week against the Lakers, right? Andrew Nembhard returned against the Lakers, hits 4 threes, hits the dot game winner over LeBron James at the buzzer, right? You've heard that story a million times. But since then, 5 games, Andrew Nembhard has played Lakers, Kings, Jazz, Blazers, and now this 5th game against Golden State. Here's Andrew Nembhard's road trip stats. 34 minutes a game, 15.6 points per game, 7.2 assists, 4.8 rebounds on 53% shooting, 46% from deep. This is a second-round pick we're talking about. He has been unbelievably good for the Pacers, and it was all shown in this game, right? Not only did he do it on offense, he did it on defense too, and that's what made him absolutely dominant. But this is the standout thing as I was typing it that just blew my mind. 31 points for Andrew Nembhard. That's a career high, right? Never has hit 30 before. He never hit 20 before this game. 13 assists. That's a career high. His previous career high was 10 against Utah last Friday. It was his second time ever double digits on assists. 8 rebounds. You guessed it. Career high, 8 rebounds in this game. So that means in the big 3 stats, the 3 that are tracked usually for a triple-double or that people list in their stories or whatever, Andrew Nembhard had a career high in points, a career high in assists, and a career high in rebounds. That's ridiculous. I have no way of checking, like, how far into someone's career they've had a game where they have a career high in all three at the same time. But that is unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. He did everything. He would catch it at the top of the key. He would survey. They'd run a pick and roll. He'd get into the paint, whatever. He would do a lot of stuff. And then he'd make something happen. He would hit a floater. He had a step back three over Steph Curry. He broke down double teams. He found his teammates, obviously, 13 times. Like, he had these crazy lobs in the paint. Like, it was unbelievable. The Warriors had no answers for this guy. They were double teaming a second round pick rookie to try to make a comeback in this game. And oh, by the way, his defense was also phenomenal, right? Everything he did was awesome. And I think also super fitting, 31 points for Nimbard in this game on his career night, on his coming out party. You could call the Lakers three a coming out party, whatever. In this game that he has 31 points. That's his draft pick. I just think that's really cool and fitting. I like overdoing meaning in numbers, but there's one for you. He was unbelievable in every step of the way. And then, like I said, on defense, he slows down Steph, right? He defended Steph all the time. He was doing a good job staying with him when Steph would go around screens or do that Steph Curry thing where he runs around like crazy to try to get open. Nembhard did a good job slowing him down, making his life hell, making it hard for him to shoot. The second Steph would come around to screen, usually he tries to chuck, he'd be shot faking because there was a defender named Andrew Nembhard right in his face. He couldn't drive to the basket as much, right? He was 1-for-7 on two-pointers despite, you know, getting to the rim on occasion when he could. Like, everything Nembhard did in this game was perfect. He's here. What a pick by the Pacers. This is the 31st pick, second round pick, is already a lock rotation guy every single game. And he's been starting at the three. I know that they, like, maybe now what the Pacers do is start him at the three and then make him the second unit one and just reduce McConnell's minutes ever so slightly because they have to try to get Andrew Nimbard more opportunities if he can play like this all the time. Because this wasn't a game that, you know, you don't change your way of thinking for one game, but you do explore other opportunities if a guy has the potential to do something like this. So Nembhard's obviously here to stay. He was already in the rotation playing all the time, but he's got to play every day, and they've got to try to get him some more on-ball reps. I don't know how. It's got to be with the second unit most likely when Haliburton comes back, but he was so good in this game. Now, how fitting timing that this game happens when it did, because I was currently working on a story about Nembhard, and, you know, with Jalen Suggs. When the Magic were in town, I talked to Jalen Suggs about Nembhard. They were teammates at Gonzaga. And I thought an interesting anecdote here was, you know, they're playing together, and Suggs is this huge recruit that Gonzaga really wants. They want to appease him, make him happy. And Andrew Nembhard gets cleared health-wise right before the season starts. That was a little surprising. So they said to Jalen Suggs, hey, do you care if we also play Nembhard? That means Suggs' role changes a little bit. He's not on the ball quite as much. He's like, yeah, dude, like, of course I want to play with him. He's really good. And he said they grew really close over his freshman and only season at Gonzaga. But a couple quotes stood out to me. Like, one is that he was really impressed by that Nembhard's become a perimeter defender in the NBA. He said, definitely wasn't a perimeter defender in college. He's always wanted to get better. His work habits and the way he steadily improved, it just makes me smile. That's what Suggs said about Nembhard getting better. And the other thing, right, is that, you know, he's playing the three. Like, he was starting at the three most of the time. Now he obviously had this crazy game at point guard just now. But Jalen Suggs said of Nembhard playing the three, was he surprised to see Nembhard starting on the wing? He said, not at all, because he has such a high basketball IQ. He can score it. When you have guys like that, they're going to play. They're going to find their way into a lot of minutes. Well, in this game, that high IQ was on display. That scoring was on display. And those guys can play a lot. Nembhard played 41-plus minutes in this game and changed everything. He did absolutely everything for the Pacers. He was their best shot creator. He had half of their assists. He had 31 points. I mean, it's hard to say enough good things about the way he was playing. And I've always been impressed, long-time listeners know this, dating back to Summer League, even really the draft about then, right, that he can pass in traffic. He did that a lot in this game. But, you know, that sort of shows that no matter who's around you, you have this presence of mind to know where your teammates are and the touch to put the ball there, right? And he did that a lot in this game. And then when you have easier passes or when you're required to make more reads, if you can have that ability, it translates really well. And so a lot of people who don't know Andrew Nembhard were surprised by his performance in this game. I've watched all of his games in his career, and even I was a little surprised. The only not surprised people work for the Pacers are named Jalen Suggs. Like, he was absolutely awesome. He sat out in this game for 6 minutes and 42 seconds, Andrew Nembhard did. He was on the bench for 6 minutes and 32 seconds. Pacers lost those minutes by 8 points, right? Like, they got killed when he sat out. They absolutely needed him in there, and he did everything. He completely controlled the game. He was a calming presence. That was also impressive. He never got sped up or rushed, even when the Warriors went on their runs to take the lead. They started sending double teams his way. No problem. He shakes him. He ices the game with a three after breaking a double team. He hits Isaiah Jackson with a huge lob out of the double team. One of the most impressive rookie performances I've seen from a Pacer ever. I mean, based on the query that I told you at the beginning with the 31 points, 13 assists, 5 threes, maybe one of the most impressive performances from a rookie ever. I mean, it was fantastic to see Andrew Nembhard play that way. I'm looking forward to see how he follows it up on Wednesday, even if Haliburton is back. How can they get Andrew Nembhard opportunities to be that dude again? Now let's talk about the rest of the Pacers. Obviously, Nembhard deserves a ton of shine, but a ton of guys had big games that deserve a ton of praise for the way that they were able to help the Pacers win a game that nobody expected them to win. Let's talk about the other eight Pacers who suited up, who all exceeded expectations, all fit a role that they normally don't play, and why that matters for this team going forward. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Pacers your first listen today and every single day. Make Locked On Sports Today your second listen for the biggest stories and the behind-the-scenes looks at the biggest stories in sports. Locked On Sports Today with notes from your local hosts here at the Locked On Podcast Network. Andrew Nembhard deserves all the shine. He'll be even the subject of some discussion tomorrow when Derek Kramer, iPacers blog, is going to join us again for his once every other month visit here to Locked On Pacers. But I also want to highlight a lot of other guys who played very well in this game, because basically everyone who played was playing a different role than they're accustomed to. I could, and I will actually argue, that every player who played except for Andrew Nembhard and Isaiah Jackson played a different role than they normally play. Of the 9-man rotation for the Pacers, right? Aaron Nesmith was more guardy in this game, despite starting, right? He had to dribble more in this game because they needed some creation. He had some nice drives. He had a beautiful layup in the fourth quarter to help the Pacers stay afloat. Jalen Smith was the starting center, and he deserves a ton of praise for the way he played in this game. His first half was fantastic. He was elite in the first half. Jalen Smith's first half, 9 points, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks, and he hit a three in that half. So he was stretching out the Warrior defense, right? Making Looney move a little bit. Looney only played 13 minutes because he was getting run off the floor. He was a minus 21, right? So they got to change up who they have in at center. Nothing was quite working, even when they'd go wing heavy or Draymond or whoever, because Smith was so good in this game. So Jalen Smith was the lone center. Where that helped him, I think, is one with matchups, right? 6 for 8 from the field. Small guys kept getting either switched onto him or stuck on him in transition because of something the Warriors were doing. And he took advantage of that, right? He made sure to put someone under the rim or get into a good position with a cutty. Like, I think of his two-pointers, half of them had to be super easy dunks. And then the 9 rebounds to go with it, 3 of them on the offensive glass, which was very helpful for the Pacers in this game, of course. 2 assists and 3 blocks. And that was a big change for him defensively, playing the 5 instead of the 4 where he's chasing guys a little more. He was doing a good job defending the rim. That really impressed me because he hasn't had that responsibility very much. So his role is different. Benedict Mathurin, his first start ever in the NBA, did not shoot the ball very well. 4 for 16, 0 for 6 from deep. So 4 for 10 from 2, okay. 6 for 8 from the foul line. That was the big thing for him, getting to the foul line a lot. But starting, right? Something new for him, playing more with Hield, which I actually don't think is a good combination. Playing more with Smith, playing more with Nesmith than he normally does. He had to adjust in that way. Buddy Hield, he was one of the two guys, like I said, him and Isaiah Jackson. I might have said Nembhard at the top. That was wrong. Buddy Hield and Isaiah Jackson, the two guys who played the normal role. But Hield hit some huge threes in the fourth quarter of this game, right? He had an off night, 17 points on 19 shots. But both of his threes came in the fourth quarter, which was huge, right? He stepped up in a way that was really needed. So all the starting five, right? Nembhard obviously does not normally start at point guard. The first time he did in his career was literally one night prior in Portland and did not play to that level. He was in a new role. Nesmith was needed to attack more and defended pretty well when he was in the whole game. Smith was the lone five. Mathurin started for the first time. The whole starting five is in different roles. And they all did a pretty good job of doing the things they do well and finding a way to click together, right? That group did really well all at the same time. All of them plus in the plus minus, except for the Smiths, Nesmith and Smith, who were only minus 4. They still played appropriately in this game. And Smith specifically in the first half, like, the Pacers are not ahead in this game if they don't have Jalen Smith in that first half, because he was so good on both ends of the floor in a way that you don't typically expect from him. In fact, that starting five specifically was a plus 6 in this game when they were all together. So credit to that group for all stepping into a role that they don't normally play, except for Hield, but Hield still played well. And Hield also, by the way, 9 rebounds and 5 assists, right? Sniffing that double-double, with the rebounds. That's when he's at his best, is when he's energized in ways that aren't just making the threes. That was really impressive for him. So everybody who started did a good job. Now, this is where the rotation, like, this is something that's always well talked about, but it always stands out when it actually happens, right? A lot of times when a key player is missed, in this case, it was Halliburton and Turner, but when a key player is out, it's not necessarily the weird part is that the backup has to start. It's that the reserve guy has to be the backup now. So the Pacers' sixth man in this game was Kendall Brown, the two-way wing, the 48th overall pick, who's played, I think, three NBA games prior to this one, maybe four. They've had a lot of garbage time on this road trip, so I can't remember exactly where he's at. But his debut in the NBA was against Minnesota before the road trip started, so like 2 weeks ago. Right? He has not played much in the NBA, but with the injuries the team has, and you know, I think they're trying to get him on some road trips to give him some NBA experience, help him grow. He's been playing a lot for them recently. He was the sixth man in this game. 18 minutes of action. He hit a shot. He got five boards. He had two assists to a huge foul drawn in this game at the end of the third quarter to keep some momentum after a rebound. Like, he played pretty well. So he had 3 points, five boards, two assists, plus seven. His defense has always been the standout thing for Kendall Brown to me at the G League level with the Pacers, whatever. And it was good again in this game. That's his big thing to me. If he's going to be this athletic, speedy guy, he's got to defend. I mean, some offense has to come eventually, but if he can defend, he can get on the floor, and he defended in this game. His most minutes of his career, definitely his most important minutes of his career, and he certainly made them count. He looked usable and helpful in this game in a way that if they have to toss him out there for some utility minutes again, the Pacers can say, yeah, you know what, we're totally comfortable doing that because he looked fine when he had to do it before. To answer my own question, that was his fifth game. He's played four times before that. So really nice game from Kendall Brown. O'Shea Brissett, what was atypical about his role? Well, he played a ton, 31 minutes for O'Shea Brissett in this game, way, way, way above his season average. They obviously need him without Turner in this game, without so many guys. They need backup forwards, but 31 minutes for O'Shea Brissett, his most of the season by like 5 minutes, right? He's only exceeded 25 minutes two times this year before this game. He was at 31 in this game. They couldn't get him off the floor. He was hitting threes. That's always huge from 3 for 6 from deep for Brissett and 8 rebounds and 2 assists and a steal and a block. He was a plus 7. He was huge. And the Warriors, you know, like Draymond is not a guy you like want to put on an O'Shea Brissett type, and all the rest of their dudes who you would put on Brissett aren't like the best at kind of outside in defending. They couldn't really contain him. He did a good job cutting as well. Got 2 nice buckets inside. Really good game. Maybe best of the season for O'Shea Brissett when they needed it. There's a reason he finished with 31 minutes. That was the fourth most on the team behind Mather and Hield and Nembhard. They needed him. Isaiah Jackson, finally, I talked him about him yesterday about how he's been really slumping on this road trip for the Pacers. Their second unit has been suffering because their backup center can't do as much as he has been this year. In this game, Isaiah Jackson only 1 foul, so he's able to play more. 6 for 10 from the field, 3 blocks. He was special. Receiving lobs, his connection with Nembhard is extremely impressive, right? It has been all season, even with the second unit in this game that was once again on display. So credit Isaiah Jackson for jumping out of his slump in this game in a big way for the Pacers. And the final guy in the Pacers rotation in this game, their ninth man, Trevelyan Queen. Trevelyan Queen, who played his first game for the Pacers of this season, his 11th NBA game on Sunday night, right? They had to fly him into Portland because they were running out of bodies. They need wing depth. They need guard depth. They need someone to play. And he was okay in that game. He was a plus 6 in 13 minutes, rebound and assist and a steal, right? He had a beautiful pass in this game. He only played like 6.5 minutes. Beautiful pass, 2 rebounds, a block, right? He played well in the minutes they needed him to. Like, if that rest, he played 6:42, right? If that rest that Trevelyan Queen gave Buddy Hield allowed him to have the energy to hit 2 threes in the fourth, that's huge, right? That is a huge, long-lasting impact. And he himself played well. So all of this rambling and calling out individuals to say every Pacer who played their role and played it well. And that is what they needed in a game to take down the defending champion Golden State Warriors in San Fran, in the Bay. Pacers are 13-11. They've got Minnesota on Wednesday. That was a momentum-saving win. That would have been 5 losses in 6 games for the Pacers, their worst stretch had they lost. And instead, they go into Steph Curry's house and beat the Warriors, who had won 10 in a row in the Chase Center. Super impressive win from the Pacers. They got Minnesota on Wednesday, a team that just beat them 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to talk too much about the Timberwolves tomorrow because you just saw Pacers-Wolves about 2 weeks ago, and you can listen to that podcast with Dane Moore right before that game, who covers the Wolves, who's got all the scoops on that side. Instead, Derek Kramer from my Pacers blog will join to talk. Nembhard, obviously, that special performance he just had. And we'll break down some of the Pacers stuff right now. What has been going well on the road trip? What's been going poorly on the road trip? Dissecting where the Pacers are at now that they're at about 25 games. So that'll be really fun. Hope you guys enjoy that. And hope you enjoyed today's show, talking all things about the Andrew Nembhard game and the huge Pacers win over the Golden State Warriors in the Bay. I'm on Twitter at TEastNBA if you want to yell at me because I say a lot of dumb things. And this podcast is on Twitter at LockedOnPacers. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow.